Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Power of Forgiveness podcast. My name is Dwayne Staten, and I want to thank you for tuning in for another episode. This podcast is meant to help those toward the path of forgiveness, for the ones who have been hurt, heartbroken, forever changed by something that was said or done to them, which changed their mindset, the course of their relationships, their future, and even their life in general. With this podcast, I speak about the lessons I've learned from forgiveness, and I give it to you, the audience. Today, I had the pleasure of interviewing Yvonne Rempel, co-founder of Damascus Experience and co-host of On the Road to Damascus podcast. Yvonne is passionate about facilitating the experience with God that brings breakthrough to your life and hope for your future. She comes today talking about how her mom didn't want her, how she had to break away from her, and then how Yvonne wept for her mother. I'm telling you, I have not heard a story like this before. Trust me, this is an interview that is a must listen. Here's the episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Power of Forgiveness podcast. My name is Dwayne Staten, and I have a special guest, Yvonne!
Hey!
Yvonne! How are you doing?
I am doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm good. No complaints here. So, funny story, we connected through Facebook, and I was actually surprised. Can you just tell the people where you're from again?
I'm from Canada, Manitoba, Canada.
And it's like I just told her, she's the first person I've ever met from that part of Canada. And for her to connect with me on Facebook, I just honestly thank you. That really touched my heart for, you know, you to connect with me for real. Honestly wanted to thank you for that, really. So I have a question for you.
Okay, shoot.
What is your favorite meal to cook and why?
My favorite meal to cook. Okay, it's going to be very Canadian. We cook poutine. Have you heard of that?
I've heard of poutine, yes. Okay. I haven't tried it though, but I know what it is.
So we make it in our house. We smoke a pulled pork all day. And then we make it really nice. It's actually what we're having for supper right now, later today. And then we make our French fries and we make our poutine gravy and we put cheese curds on it, some pulled pork, and then we lather it all in gravy and we eat it.
Sounds so good. Oh, that sounds so good. Oh, that sounds so good.
Yeah, when you come up to Manitoba, Canada, we'll have to make poutine for you.
yes. It. Oh my gosh, that's the first thing. It's like, are you hungry? Poutine. You don't want to try poutine, but we have other poutine. That's all I'm going to say. But that's good. That's good. For me, I make this salmon. I make honey garlic salmon. Ooh. So what it is salmon fillets with honey, soy sauce, white wine vinegar, garlic cloves, mix that together and makes it a sweet sauce. And you put the salmon in the pan, and then once it's cooked, you put the sauce over the salmon and you let it just sit in it for a while. And ooh, what I like to do with that is I make fish tacos with that.
I love fish tacos.
Oh my gosh. So I put the salmon in there, I slice up some red peppers and some mango, and I just go to town. That's my favorite. Oh, that's what I like to make.
That sounds so good. When we're done podcasting, we'll have to exchange recipes now.
Oh, I'm that's no question. That is definitely no question. So you said that you had a story for us, and I would love to hear. So please share your story with us.
Yeah, so I want to say like it's a normal story. I didn't realize later in life that it actually wasn't that normal. I had a really crazy upbringing. My mom didn't want me, and she actually made it very clear. She told me numerous times that she wished she had an abortion. And so it was very like formed in my mind that she didn't want me. And all through my childhood, I was not wanted. You know, she had four other kids after me. So being the oldest, the choosing and the what they got versus what I got, even when the day I was born. Now, I have three kids. from the day my kids were born, I already had a name picked out. I had their nursery set up. Like I was ready to go with my kids. The day I was born, I was named by my mom's boyfriend. My middle name came from my grandmother. And I was put in like the little baby thing, and probably the nurses took care of me. So by the time I was 5 years old, right? Because I don't remember the rest of those years. Of course. By the time I was 5 years old, I knew that I wasn't wanted. Mm. Like I knew it. But I also knew that I could live a better life than what I was given. So I had this like weird internal struggle. You know, at 5 years old, you're like, oh, how can you have that? For me, I've always had this weird internal struggle. And it's what I call like, there was a war happening over me. There was, God would show up in my life and then the world would show up and tell me I'm something different. So there was this tug of war in my life. At 5 years old, I was like, okay, so if you don't want me, I'm going to go to school and I'm going to go to where people want me. So I'd get up, I'd get myself ready. I'd make mustard sandwiches because we had no food, right? My mom was an alcoholic. You know, she spent her time drinking all the time, gambling our money. So we didn't have a lot of money. And so I only had mustard and I would make mustard sandwiches. And then I would walk myself to the bus at 5 and I'd get on the bus and I'd go to school because school was important.
Right.
Why? I don't know. I mean, I have to fight my kids to go to school sometimes, but for me, I knew that being in the classroom is where I shined. Mm-hmm. So if I would go to school and I did all my schoolwork, the teachers were so proud of me. You know, if I did something really great in sports, the coaches were super proud. I craved needing and needed being wanted so badly that I found it externally. So this is something that happened in my childhood. This happened in all my teenage years. But in the same time, there was this inner struggle going, Yvonne, don't do those things. Don't go to those parties. Stay home and do your homework. Yvonne, don't go drinking with those people. Stay home and do, you know, take care of yourself. Do this. And so the warring of the world of needing to be wanted. And then there was this other war going, no, Yvonne, I'm giving you a vision for your life. Stay on track. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. And so I had this war going on. And eventually, by the time I turned 17, the war of the world won. And I started doing a lot of things I shouldn't have been doing. And some crazy things that I really shouldn't have been doing. And then at 18, I got pregnant. And, you know, I mean, when people hear the story of there, I'm like, I'm shocked. But people are like, yeah, that makes sense. I was like, okay, but I was totally shocked.
Wow. But
here's the crazy thing is I didn't want kids. I didn't want kids because I knew what having a crappy childhood was like. I knew what being abused was like. I knew what having no money and going hungry was like. And I didn't want that. So I said, I don't want kids. And then of course, you know, I got pregnant at 18. So I'm like, well, I guess that, you know, it's going to change my mind. So I had my firstborn, my son. And I realized that I had an opportunity to do things different, that he didn't have to be like my mom. Mm. And I started meeting other families who never grew up like that, who had young kids like me. And they were mothering different. And I didn't understand why they were mothering different, right? In my household, when I grew up, if you disagreed, you threw stuff at people, right?
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, it got bad. There's times where we would throw pots and pans. Like it would be dangerous. So yeah. Dangerous.
Yeah.
And I was like, you can't react like that because that's dangerous to your child. And I was like, but how do you react? How do you respond? Like, I don't understand. Right. And so I started getting these tidbits of information. And one day I sat with God, right? I just come to know him at like 24 years old. Just come to know him. I have three kids. you know, my identity is wrapped up in the world and what other people think of me. And God says to me, Yvonne, I want you to train up your children.
Yes. Keep going. Keep going.
And I said, I don't know what that means. And he said, I'm going to put people in your life who's going to help you with that.
Wow.
So I started going to this church that had this mom group where we would have these mentors of these older women who already have adult children. And they would mentor me and they would teach me. And my mother-in-law, when I got married, my mother-in-law taught me how to cook homemade meals, right? My father-in-law taught me, you know, like mechanics and those types of things. And so as I walked out learning what it was to be, I started realizing that God was redeeming my childhood through my children.
Oh my gosh. Say that one more time. Say that one more time. That was good.
That God redeemed my childhood through my children. And I got to be a little kid with my children. I got to experience what it would have been like for me as a child if I had a mom who had that opportunity to do those things. And so I was able to play with my kids. And of course, you're going to be frustrated. Of course, you're going to be angry. But I learned how to deal with it in a healthy way. And so I started realizing, oh, man, I carried a lot of baggage. You know, I was diagnosed as a PTSD because of the trauma from my childhood.
Whoa.
My mom told me that I had to choose her or my husband. And when I chose my husband, she said, then that's fine. Then that's your decision. And she stepped out of our lives.
Wow.
And I had to put up strong boundaries. You know, and not under, and there was no language for it at the time. I mean, like, this was probably, I'm not going to say how many years ago, because that's how old I am. But it was when my children were very young. And so my husband asked me, he goes, do you want to keep seeing your mom? And I said, I can't, because she makes me feel like I have to please her, and I can't please her and please God at the same time.
Oh,
and I can't
gosh,
be the
yes.
mom I need to be for my kids if I'm still the little kid trying to please my own mom. So I went to counseling. Man, I went to counseling and I was angry and I was frustrated, and how dare she be those things to me? And I remember this one counseling session, and I sat there and I was saying all these really things, and all of a sudden this epiphany hit me. And I, you know, those moments, those God moments you get?
Yeah.
It's not your thought, it's his.
Yeah.
And I sat there and I said, she just did the best she could with what she had, didn't she?
Oh my gosh. That and revelation. Keep going. I'm sorry. Keep going. Keep going.
That's okay.
Keep going.
I didn't realize that maybe she had a traumatic childhood herself.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that maybe she had a hard life like me.
Yeah.
And what she did is she was just repeating the cycle. But God gave me an opportunity to break that cycle for my own family.
There
and
it is.
Give a new life to my children where that would not have happened, but I had to choose God over my mom for him to do that. And so when I look back in there, I started realizing that God was with me this whole time. You know, I didn't believe in God until I was 22. But when I looked back, people were always like, well, Jesus was with you. You know, if you were crying in the corner, he was sitting with you. And, you know, those are great things that people say. But for me, I'm like, when you're being beaten black and blue.
Yes.
Jesus, why are you not stopping the person who's hurting me?
Talk that realness. That's real. That's real.
What I did was I realized that Jesus wasn't this imaginary person sitting beside me. He was a police officer who brought me home. He was the neighbor who would feed me. He was the, you know, the nun who would teach me about Jesus. He was the person who pulled me out of a snowstorm because I shouldn't have been playing at 6 o'clock in the morning in the snow, right? Like, these things you do. And I realized that he was with me this entire time in the people who kept me on track. And so I said, there was a war on my soul this entire time of my life, of the world and God walking it out. And the last thing I had to do was I had to let go of all the anger and all the frustration and allow God to redeem those things in my life. And that took 2 years of counseling to do. Every week I would go over and over and over. And you know, there's times where I walked out of that session. I was like, this is dumb. I don't like her. Never talking to her again. And then there's other times you're crying because you're mourning the loss of what you had to let go. But yeah, that greatest moment came when I realized she was just doing what she thought she should do, because I'm doing what I think I should do for my kids. And that was the moment I was able to release all that anger, all that frustration, years of disappointment, and just let it go and just allow God to work in that and really shape my family for him.
I'm gonna get you, okay? I'm gonna get you because you said, oh, that's a normal story. Ma'am, that is a whole testimony. That's not normal. That's not normal. Do you know there are many people who probably go through and say, man, F my mom, F all of this, and just honestly, they probably screw their kids up. Mm-hmm. But you came out of it, honestly, the best, you came out in the best way possible. And the maturity where you said she only had to, like, where God told you, like, she only had to work, she worked with the only thing that she had. And the inside is like, maybe she was abused and she didn't know any better. That's nothing but God insight and maturity. So kudos for you on that. And I'm sitting here just like, ladies and gentlemen, the altar is open if you want to give her an offering. Just drop anything that you can. But that's powerful. That's powerful, because when you said that statement about she only worked with what she had, that struck a chord. Because a lot of times we as kids, we expect our parents to be perfect. You know, we have high expectations of our parents. We really do. Forgetting that they're human and that they're coming off of what they were taught. There's a quote that I just remembered that describes you just now. It says, it ran in your family until it ran into you.
Yeah.
And right now you just proved that. You just proved that. So when you got that revelation from God, like, what was going through your mind at that time? Like, what happened in that moment?
That, you know, I started really weeping for her. You see, I came to counseling because I knew I was set free. God set me free.
Yes.
But she has never gone to church, and I know that she doesn't know God. So I started weeping for her because no one ever wept for her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the grief, the things that she felt she had to do, right? I mean, there's times where my kids drive me crazy and I'm like, can you please go to your friend's house and leave me alone? You know?
Yeah.
But at least I have a community that when I've hit my breaking point, my community steps in as my backup.
Yes.
And she never had that.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And so it was weeping. It was the broken heart. I felt God's heart for her and how he wept for her. And not just wept for me, but wept for her. Because she too is a child of God.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's the first time I've ever heard someone say that I actually wept for, I'm going to say not even their mom, for a person, for the wrong that they did, and to get that revelation. I've never heard that before. That's amazing. That is amazing. That, wow. That touched me, it did. And I want to say, like, when you say, is, I knew this guy, because I pray this for me and my wife, for my sons. It says in Proverbs 22:6, to train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he's older, he will not depart from it. I pray that all the time, because it's like, I don't want to screw up my kid. No parent does.
No.
And it's like, for you to get that direct revelation, that direct word. And then he said, I'm going to put people in your place. Oh my gosh. Oh, goodness. As the old saying goes, it takes a village. It really does take a village. And God put those people in your life. So my question is, how did God put those people in your life? Like, how did that happen?
We were actually attending a church. So we moved and then we moved back and we didn't have community. So we started going to the same church that, you know, the familiar church that we were going to. This is the one we gave our life to. This is the one we were baptized in. So we started going there. And I'm a really big feeler, a very strong intuition. And we went back to that church our first Sunday, to everybody who welcomed us with open arms. And I said, this is not it. I think we're actually supposed to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
And my husband's like, no, I'm pretty sure this is it. So one of the Sundays he was working, I was looking into churches in our community, and I found this one. And the moment I walked in the door, I went, this is it. This is the church that I'm going to raise my children in.
Okay. And what's the name of the church? You don't mind me asking.
Prairie Alliance Church.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
So I like that name.
We walked in. I was like, this is it. Like, they had a thriving Sunday school program. They had it was called Daybreak. And Daybreak, I didn't realize how important it was to me. And it was a group of moms who got together with older women. And these older women, you would be matched with one of them. And they would check up on you through the week. And they would make sure you're doing okay. You know, they would go, how are you on Sunday? Like, there was somebody there to encourage you to go, keep going, keep going, keep fighting. This is hard. I get that. But it's going to be worth it in the end. And so I had this group of people. You know, I go every once a week to our Daybreak group. And then I just started finding friends. And we'd sit and we'd have coffee as our children played together. And we would just talk about the importance of raising our kids in, you know, in the church with, you know, values and morals and, you know, with having that really good alignment with God.
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. As you were describing it, this dropped in my spirit. It was Psalm 133:1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And in this case, for you, the mothers coming together, checking up on you, making sure things were good. Like, that's powerful.
Yeah.
That's, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Like, that's, I got to sit with that. That's so heavy, because you rarely get that. You have people who will be, what's the word? Well-intentioned. When we do that as well.
Yeah.
But there's not much follow-through. But to have that follow-through and really mean it, that, to me, that would touch me. It really would.
Yeah.
That's good. Oh, that's good. So what kind of people were around you at that point? Like, what type of moms were around you?
We had a bunch of different moms around us. We had some who were older than me. We had some who came from great, beautiful homes. You know, the parents, they were raised in the church and, you know, they have a generation in their town, in our town. You know, we had some moms who, you know, were struggling because they didn't have a great mom. You know, we had people, you know, a lot like me. You know, we just had a variety. And one of the things I really noticed is that we all had the same problems. And it was the same problem was, how are we going to raise our kid so that they will be world changers?
I like that.
Yeah, so it didn't at that point, it didn't matter your background anymore. It really didn't matter your background. It didn't matter where you came from, a good home, a bad home, a mediocre, like it didn't matter. The common goal was, how are we going to raise our children to be world changers? And so we got to draw on the experience of each one of us, right? My experience with my mom has really, really helped me instill truth and value into my kids, right? Where as someone who grew up in the church, they were like, we do devotions every Sunday because it's so important to us.
Right.
Right. And so we pulled from each other and we learned, oh, you do this? Oh, maybe I should start doing that. Oh, I didn't know you should do that, Yvonne. Okay, I'm going to start doing that with my kids. And so what brought us together, you know, was the common ground of raising our kids to be amazing next generation. But our experiences are the things that really we got to instill in them.
I like this. You had the same goal.
Yeah.
But different backgrounds.
Yeah.
And with each background, y'all brought different experiences.
Yeah.
It honestly, it's another verse dropping. It's 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. And I got that because we think that, oh, I can't really offer nothing. I just had this. And when you get together with another person, come to find out, you're that missing link to that one person.
Yeah.
And what you were struggling with, someone overcame. And the more we come together, the better things are. So that's beautiful. That's
and beautiful. You know, it was really, and one of the things that I really learned is that when people hear my story, anybody who's never grown up like me, they're like, oh, I can't offer what you offer, Yvonne. I'm like, but let me tell you what you offer. You offer stability. I didn't know what stability was until I met you.
Yeah.
You know, you offer, you know, like being intentional, right? Because when you grow up in how I did, you're not intentional with anything, right? You're kind of wishy-washy. So you taught me the value of intention with my kids, the value of follow through with my kids. And so when people go, oh, you know, I just grew up in the church and, you know, like, this is my story. That's so important. It's as important as my story. It's just as important because you offer a missing link that I didn't have, and I needed that.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy people say that. It's like, I don't have your story. Exactly. You have your own, and your story can free somebody else.
Yeah. And thank God you don't have my story. Could you imagine a bunch of us like running around the world like this?
Yo, oh my goodness. People like, this when I was in high school, man, we all did. Like, okay. But that's beautiful. One thing that I wanted to bring up that you said was your mom gave you an ultimatum, her or your husband. Can you walk me through that time?
Yeah, so it was a crazy time. I was, I had two kids at the time, and we were pregnant with our third, and I miscarried.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And it was hard because, you know, each kid, you know, you want to love, and, you know, we were growing our family. And so, you know, it was very hard for me, and I was sitting there, and what she wanted is she wanted to be the number one in my life. She was rivaling the spot that I was opening up for God.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah. So it was never meant to be you or him. That was not my intention coming forward.
Correct.
Right. It was, I told her, it goes God, my husband, my children, and then you. But that doesn't mean that we don't care for you. And because I understood that need to be wanted, right? It was the same need I had. Because I understood that need, I also understood the importance of boundaries.
Ooh, can you say that, the importance of boundaries? That is, I'm sorry. Continue on. We'll circle back to that, but keep going.
So our boundaries we put up was that we raise our kids in a godly home. Mm-hmm. We do certain things that have morals and values. So if you were to be around the kids, that's the type of things that we expect.
Okay.
We have people in our life for that. But at no point am I ever going to choose you over my family.
Yeah.
And I think that was really hard for her to understand.
Yeah.
Really hard. And so the argument came the day that, you know, I miscarried, went to the hospital, came home, and there was a phone call. And the phone call was, you know, I want to talk to my daughter and I want to talk to her now. My husband said, you can't. She is on the couch sick. She's not feeling good. And she was very rude to my husband and very ignorant. And I called her back and I said, listen, this is not how we treat people in our lives. So you need to decide if you're going to treat people with respect, because if that's not something you want to do, then there is no place for you in our lives anymore.
Ooh, I know that had to be a tough conversation.
It was a very tough conversation, and there was a lot of yelling and there was a lot of pain. But I also knew the moment I hung up the phone, knowing that we probably would not talk to each other again, God was right there with me going, it's going to be okay.
Wow.
It's going to be okay.
The peace that surpasses all understanding. Oh my gosh. We all dread that conversation with our loved ones. We really do. And for you to go through that and to have that conversation, I ain't got the words for it. I'm just going to say, wow. But then when you had that piece that just said everything's going to be all right, that's powerful. You said something key was boundaries. I'm going to speak for me. Mm-hmm. In the 90s, boundaries weren't said or known.
Nope.
I'm not even going to say even in the 2000s. I'm going to say late 2010s to now, we started to know more about mental health and know about boundaries and things of that nature. And we didn't have a word for it. But now things are coming out to say we need to establish boundaries. There are toxic relationships, things that need to be explored and talked about. So I'm glad you brought that one up. Now, excuse me. When you said, hey, I'd rather please God than my mom, it went back to, again, it's just God dropping words.
Yeah.
What was it say? Galatians 1:10, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. And you embodied that because you knew what the order was, and you stuck with it. And God honored that.
Yeah.
And while the conversation was unpleasant, the blessing you got, you know, with the peace and your family, I'm going to say, I know that weighed heavy on you.
Yeah, it was hard. And yeah. It's still hard to this day, you know, when you have family gatherings.
Of course.
And you don't have anyone on your side of the family. You know, and then sometimes you're like, huh, this is just actually easier because I have no other side of the family.
But that's dope.
I tell my husband that he has it easy because he never has to deal with a mother-in-law. So.
Oh, man. I didn't even think about that one. Oh, wow. Okay. But just think, the family that you did gain, though, that's what's really helped.
Yeah.
So you also said therapy, because it said in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. I am a big, I hope this is the word, proponent for therapy. I embrace it. I endorse it. I welcome it. So can you please talk about letting go of the anger and frustration with through therapy?
Yeah, therapy has been a huge component in my life. You know, whether it's a therapy for me, therapy for my family, therapy for my marriage, you know, and you said it right. You know, in the 90s and early 2000s, therapy was a dirty word.
Oh my gosh, yes.
So bad.
You know, therapy was for crazy people.
Right. And so we took it as, you know, like, oh, you're so crazy. You know, like, well, what did you do? You have to go to therapy. And my doctor actually explained it so well. He goes, Yvonne, if I had a car, I would take care of my car. I'd change the oil. You know, I'd put winter tires on it. I would do those things. He goes, why are you not doing that for your mental health? Why are you not taking care of yourself? And I realized that, you know, like therapy, I had to look at therapy as a healing balm for my life. So going once a week to therapy, you know, making that drive, being intentional in what I was talking about, but also being so vulnerable.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't heal anything if I wasn't vulnerable in my sessions.
Yes.
And so I had a great counselor, and he really challenged me. And what was so great about it is that he had my respect, but he also, I gave him permission to speak life and truth into my life. And when I did that, he was able to take the wisdom of God. He was able to take the ability of schooling that he learned and really speak life into me, right in those nitty gritty spots that I'd never wanted to show anybody. He was able to take it and clean it out and just let God heal those spots for me.
Yes. And that those are the two key things people are afraid of. Vulnerability.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say authority.
Oh yeah, I agree with that.
I'm going to add accountability in there. That's another scary word. Mm-hmm. Because when it comes, some people think vulnerability is weakness.
Yeah.
And when we're vulnerable, you're going to have to expose things that hurt and that are scary. And that's going to have to happen in order for it to heal.
Yeah.
I'll take it as a wound. Like if you leave the wound and it's not fixed, it'll fester, get infected, and affect the entire body.
Yeah.
Now, when you also said authority, you gave him the right, the authority to speak over you.
Yeah.
That's something that's very powerful and very key. And I'll encourage the audience, it has to be the right person. Like if you're in therapy, even if the right therapist for you, give them that authority so they can talk to you and help you. They're here to help you, not judge you or make you feel icky or make you feel like you're the bad person. No, they're here to help you. And there are going to be some things that are sit in therapy that you like and that you don't like, but it's there to help.
Right. And especially in a world where people disagree with you and we take that personal.
Oh my gosh.
They're not there to disagree with you to hurt your feelings. They're there to show you something that you haven't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody who's going through therapy right now, what I would say that is the place that you don't have to be in control of. That is, you know, in the world where we control everything, or we think we control everything.
Yes.
Attempt to control everything.
Yes.
When I learned that space was not a place that I can control, and that actually he was in control of where I was going, that was solid authority right there. And I was allowing him and trusting him to lead me down a path of healing that I would never have tried to get to on my own.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You're just dropping bomb after bomb after bomb, and I'm just trying to recover. Okay. wow, that's, jeez.
So can I share a really powerful story?
Yes, you can.
So after spending all that time healing, You know, I was a stay-at-home mom for 10 years. My kids are older. They're 19, 17, and 15 right now.
Okay.
So I was a stay-at-home mom for 10 solid years. And, you know, I got to relive my childhood. And then when they started getting older, God started building my identity in me. I started learning what forgiveness was. I started moving in that. But there was a moment for me in 2017 where I got to go to a conference.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to this conference and all of a sudden I felt like a little child again because I didn't feel like I belonged. And the people I went to this conference with, one of them, a really good friend of mine, said, "Yvonne, go take a walk and go talk to Papa. Like you need to go sort this out." I said, okay, I'll go. Put my headphones on and went for a walk. And as I'm standing in like a very busy area, I stop and I look up at the sky and I said, "Why am I even here?" And that is one of those moments where you're like, I don't even care about the conference. Why am I even here? Why, like, what is my purpose? Well, why am I even here? And I remember God very clearly said to me, "Yvonne, your mother didn't make you. Your father didn't make you. I made you for such a time as this." And I knew that after he spoke that my process of healing and forgiving was done. And there's checkups that I still do to make sure I maintain, but that process, that was it. And I hit a moment where now I could, in a healthy way, step out into my authority in the world so that other people who are doing the same thing, who are having troubles telling mountains to move, God says, "You can go stand beside them and tell that mountain to move because you had victory over yours."
If everybody's wondering why I'm silent, I'm just being slain right now. I'm just, oh my gosh. Oh, this is good. Oh, this is all good. Just good gracious of light. Just. Made you for such a time as this, and as you can tell this mountain to be moved. That's so powerful. That is so powerful, and that's such a revelation. I want everyone to get that in your spirit. God made you for such a time as this.
Yeah.
And that whatever mountain that you can't overcome, tell it to move, because you do have that faith. You do have that power. You do that authority, not of your own, because of Jesus, because of God. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Shoot, you ministering to me right now. I don't know. I'm gonna just step aside from the audience, like, "Yo, you ministering to me right now. Thank you. I appreciate it." Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Wow. Wow. I'm really at a loss for words. I'm really like, oh my gosh. So, okay. So my next question is this. Okay. After all that you've learned, what does forgiveness mean to you?
Forgiveness is not for the other person. It's for me.
Mm.
Forgiveness is the ability to break down the walls to allow God to minister to me. The moment that I build a wall of unforgiveness, it prevents God from getting to my heart.
So I
need to forgive for myself so that he can redeem the things in my life that was stolen from me.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, that's what forgiveness means to me. And so when people are like, "I can't forgive," I'm like, "Yeah, you can." That doesn't mean going and apologizing. And sometimes that does mean apologizing. But for some people, it doesn't mean apologizing and groveling. It just is accepting the fact that we live in a world that is going to hurt you because it's not for you.
Yeah.
And that world is going to attack you and it's going to bring you down. And when we stand with the authority of Christ, we can tell that world to get lost.
Facts. 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 Oh my gosh, nothing but facts. What is something that you wish you learned earlier about forgiveness?
That it's a process and not a marathon.
I like that.
That to live in each moment as you let go and to allow God, because to me, I'm like, oh, if I can forgive quick, I can move into what God wants me to do. The thing is that each moment, you know, when somebody gets hurt, the hospital doesn't just bandage you up and kick you out the door after surgery, right? There's a process that happens, right? After a major surgery, they got to make sure that nothing else got in there. They got to make sure that you've eaten something. They got to make sure that you've slept properly. They got to make sure that your body is ready to go for the next round.
Yes.
And so it's the same thing in the spirit. It's the same thing physically, emotionally, mentally. If we keep trying to forgive and keep moving on, we're actually doing way more damage to ourselves. And we miss the things that God is showing us, right? I could have forgave my mom and then moved on into what I wanted to do, but I would have missed that he redeemed my childhood.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good. Oh, that's so good. Yes. There's a lesson in everything.
Yeah.
And all things do work for good. We just have to see it. Mm-hmm. That's something I'm going to say, I'm going to even challenge myself to do and challenge the audience to do, is pray to ask God to see the good in every situation.
Yeah.
You may not like it, but ask God to show you the good. And that's what I'm going to.
It may not even look like what you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
That was the most surprising thing for me that I learned is I didn't want to be a stay-at-home mom. I was going to work and put my kids in daycare, right? And that's great for a lot of people, but God's like, I want you to stay home. I'm like, why? Why? And then all of a sudden, 10 years later, I'm like, oh, that's why.
Mm-hmm.
That's mm-hmm. why you need to be home. Because there was something. So a lot of every single day was laying down what I thought, what I think I see, what I want, laying it down and picking up what God wanted for me.
Yeah.
And it was a very conscious thing at the beginning. And now it's so unconscious. That's just my everyday. But it was something I had to practice. I even wrote like a little note beside my bed, you know, thank God for the things before your feet touch the floor, like every little thing, because I had to remind myself about that because I was so wounded still. I was so wounded. I had to remind myself that he was for me and not against me.
Yeah.
And now I don't have to remind myself because it's so ingrained. I've seen the history that he's created with me. I've seen the things that he has done. And now I just want everybody to know, hey, guess what he can do? Look what he can do. If you just let him, like, look what he can do.
Absolutely. Abso-freaking-lutely. And what is something that you want to impart to the audience?
If something I can tell you is that God is not done with you yet.
Talk about that. Yes.
Even if you think that you've hit it big, God is not done. There is so much more to you. Stop looking at yourself in the mirror and start looking at yourself through the lens of God. He is not done with you yet.
I like that. Having confidence in this very thing. That God who began a work in you shall not finish until till the day of Christ Jesus. You are still being worked on. I'm still being worked on. Yeah. Yvonne's still being worked on. Whoever's listening to this podcast, God is still working on you. It's not the end. And I want to say this, that I heard, don't put a period where God put a comma.
Yes, I love that.
So that's what I want to encourage others to do. So when I say thank you for blessing me with this podcast episode, Yvonne, really, thank you. And what I would like to do for you is if you want people to let people know how they can reach you, like through social media, websites, or whatever. The floor is yours. You can go ahead and let them know.
Well, I am on Instagram at Damascus Experience. That is my company, my business, and I also have my own podcast, On the Road to Damascus, where we talk about this very thing. God is not done with you yet. So you can reach me on there. You can send me a message, or you can go to our website, www.damascusexperience.com.
All right. And if you didn't catch that, I'm putting that in the show notes because I want y'all to connect with her because, oh gosh, this whole thing was a blessing. So, oh gosh, Yvonne, I said it before and I'll say it again. Thank you for blessing me and coming on this podcast. I appreciate it. And blessing the audience. Just thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for sharing your platform with me.
Not a problem.
What an amazing story. Let me rephrase that. What an amazing testimony. Oh my gosh. Thank you, Yvonne, for sharing it with us. And the way that the community came together, that's powerful. Oh, that's powerful. Thank you, Yvonne. And to the audience, I really hope this episode blessed you because it sure enough blessed me. I know that there are times where we don't have the strength to forgive those who have hurt us, to do what it takes in this episode, and more. We can only do these things with the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins to be forgiven in the past, present, and future. And he rose from the grave to give us eternal life, a relationship with God himself, power over sin, and power of the enemy. If you want Jesus Christ in your life, just pray this. Dear Lord, thank you for dying for my sins and my wrongdoings in the past, present, and future. I confess and believe that you died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. I give my life to you, Lord. Please come to my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. If you pray that prayer, I want to say welcome to the family. This is the best decision you could ever make in your life. Now that you've made this decision, get in a good Bible-teaching church who preaches the gospel and message of Jesus Christ. You can look on Google, social media, and ask family and friends for recommendations. Also, there may have been some things said in this episode that may have triggered some bad memories and bad feelings. If this is the case, please seek a licensed therapist to talk them out. You can go through your healthcare provider, Google, or ask family and friends who receive therapy for recommendations. I want to thank you for listening to another episode of the Power of Forgiveness podcast. If you like this podcast, please subscribe, rate it on all platforms, and most importantly, share this with other people. You never know what they're going through. I want to let you know that the Power of Forgiveness has a group page on Facebook. Join the group and get in on the conversation. That link is in the show notes. I also have my social media page in the show notes. You can follow me on both Instagram and Facebook. You can also leave me a voice message on Anchor. I would love to hear from you. Also, I need your help. I'm enrolled in a coaching program through my local college pursuing a certification in life coaching with the International Coach Federation. As part of the curriculum, I need to reach 100 hours in order to become certified. I'm hoping to connect with individuals who have an interest in being coached and move the needle in their life or needing help in forgiving those who have hurt them. Many people have an interest in moving from where they are to where they want to be, and coaching can be the key that unlocks that potential. I'm asking if you or anyone you know might benefit from coaching to please contact me. I would be happy to chat more about it and be grateful for the help it provides to further my qualification. Also, the first session is free. If you're interested and want to help, click on the link in my bio and schedule a session. I want you all to have an amazing week, and remember that forgiveness is not letting what that person or people said or did to you affect you, your spirit, your future, or where you're going in life. And that's not an excuse for or enabling someone's behavior, but not letting what that person or people did hold you back or keep you from being or grabbing all that God wants you to be or has for you. Have a good one.